Yeah. Oh, yeah. Wilson was in real bad shape for a long time. They were pondering 25th Amendmenting Reagan at the end of his presidency, but then they let him run milk out the clock for the last year or so. Kennedy, I mean, my God, the Democrats were like Lyndon Johnson and anti-Kennedy Democrats were trying to get his Addison's disease used as a disqualifier against him before he even won the presidency. So so many people had health issues that were hidden from the public and from their political enemies for as long as they possibly could. But we're supposed to be way more open about these things nowadays. And yet we are now dealing with a president that is openly lying to us about a very obvious problem. And we're no closer to the truth now than we were when this whole thing started. When people started taking photographs of his hand and being like, what's going on there?
I just thought of something when, and correct me if I'm wrong, but when Trump had the last MRI, didn't he like have an outburst and say something like, my brain is fine?
He said it was not about his head, not about his brain. Like they asked him what.
Okay.
They asked him what was the MRI for? Like what part of your body got MRI'd? And he was like, I don't know, but it wasn't my brain,
Sounds like it's the Alzheimer's drug.
Right.
And then he also said it was outstanding or something like that.
Right. He was like, the doctors reviewed my MRI and said it was incredible. My non-brain MRI results, fucking immaculate. Let me tell you, sir. No one's seen a non-brain based MRI as great as the MRI that I had. For what, Mr. President? What was it for? Like, tell us. And he's like, no, I won't. But I will tell you, I did have a great MRI that I will not talk about.
The best MRI. Many people are saying it.
Many people, the best people are saying it. People with tears in their eyes are talking about how great my MRI is.
Big beefy doctors who didn't cry at their own mother's funeral.
Yes, yes. Yeah.
That was always my favorite. Like he could not go to a single rally without some guy who looked like, you know, he carries hogs all day long, just coming up to him and tearing up and saying, you've done so much for this country.
Yes, exactly. Exactly. Yeah, that shit. He just loved that. Like, he just lives only to be this dude that's so powerful and so awesome that people that are big masculine men in his mind just melt before him and just weep at his greatness. And they're just like, oh my God, you're so incredible. I love that. Mr. President, I might be 6'4" with 2% body fat, but you are stronger, braver, bolder, better than I will ever be. And they just blubber on him. And Trump like pulls him tight to his bosom and is like, it's okay. No one can be as great as me. I am truly the greatest. And they're just like, well, I know, Mr. President, I know, you're so great. And it's just literally every story he tells is just his own crippling narcissism times a million, where he's just so enraptured in his own greatness that he just projects it onto some other person that in his mind would be something that he and you would respect, which is the 6'4", 2% body fat pig farmer from Arkansas. That we're all like, just like, that man wakes up at 3:30 in the morning and goes to bed at 2:30 in the morning and puts in 23 hours of brutal labor just to make ends meet.
Just like the president.
Just exactly. Yeah,
they have to beg him to sleep.
Yes, they have to beg him to sleep.
Sir, you're saving the country too much.
Exactly. Sir, you're MAGAing too hard. Please, MAGA at a more responsible level.
There's going to be nothing left for your successor to do. The country would be perfect.
Yeah, oh yeah, I remember that. I remember that wasn't Trump, but it was like DeSantis. I remember like DeSantis like talking about how he was going to be term limited out of the Florida governorship this time around. And he was like, I want the next guy to come in and have nothing to do because I'm just taking care of all of Florida's problems. And it's like, well, you didn't, Ron. The next guy is going to have a mountain of shit to clean up behind you. So, yeah. So, combobulations. It's not going to work out that way. So Trump had another 10,000 word truth that I'm not going to quote all of it because I know that half of you fell asleep listening to the first one, and I apologize. But this one, so imagine I said a lot of things in Trump's voice before this. In addition to all of that, I go out of my way to do long, thorough, and very boring medical examinations of the great Walter Reed National Military Medical Center and seen and supervised by top doctors, all of whom have given me perfect marks, perfect in all caps. Some have said they have never seen such strong results. I do these tests because I owe it to our country. In addition to the medical, I have done something no other president has done on three separate occasions, the last one being recently, by taking what is known as a cognitive examination, something which very few people would be able to do very well, including those who worked at the New York Times. And I aced all three of them in front of large numbers of doctors and experts, most of whom I do not know.
Seriously, why does he brag so much about those cognitive tests?
He took one recently. He is like, recently I took a test for dementia.
Yeah, they only give you that test if they're worried you have dementia. They don't. It's not like you know, going on the internet and doing a 20-minute IQ test.
Right, this is
something
exactly.
Serious.
Yeah, doctors do not willy-nilly hand out the draw a clock test. They do it because they're like, oh God, this guy's cooked. Here, let's see how cooked you are. And if they keep giving you the test, that means you are failing it. And they're trying to judge, they're trying to watch your failure slope. If you took the first cognitive test and you passed it, guess what happens? They don't give it to you anymore. They're like, okay, this guy's fine. We're good. They only keep giving it to you if they're like, okay, last time he scored a 27. That's how he's doing this time. Ooh, another 27. He's stabilizing. We'll test him again in 6 months. Oh no, 25. Now he's going downhill a bit. I mean, that's how this actually works. This is how it happens.
Yeah, like, I mean, like, the only other thing I can think of why he would keep getting tests like this is that, you know, some court is trying to determine if he's competent. Like, you know, I mean, I can see this being like some kid going for grandpa's, you know, millions, and he's like, nah, he can't count to five anymore. I want my money now. Like,
yeah, parent Trump's trying to ice him out of the estate.
Which, considering the kids he has, I could totally see them doing that.
That would be hilarious. Yeah. Yeah. I mean, it's just really crazy how everything he says is such a confession, and people will not continue to like push on this. This problem that is very obvious and very severe is just, you know, whatever. Hey, like, if the president were to drop dead tomorrow, whatever. We got J.D. Vance. He'll fit right in. It's just, oh, man. Like, that will not be good. That will not work out. It'll be really bad.
Yeah, and, I mean, that's the bad thing. It's like, as bad as he is, if he's gone, then we got to deal with the couch boinker.
Yeah, well, the real thing is that when he falls apart, he's the glue that keeps all this shit together. And that once he's not there anymore, you're going to have all these different competing factions fighting for power inside of the Republican Party. You're going to have like QAnon dead enders fighting Groypers, fighting Candace Owens, fighting Tucker Carlson, because there's no rational, normal Republicans around anymore. Anyone of the ilk of Mitt Romney and those types are long gone. It's all just varying types of nuts who've got their own, like, do you support Israel? And if you don't support Israel, do you just not support Israel, or are you a full-blown Holocaust denier? Like these are the things that are happening in the Republican Party. These are the factions that are swirling around in this party. And it's just like, oh my God, like, this is really what we're doing. This is this is one half of the American political landscape, and it's all just nuts. It's all just absolute lunatics who are barely being held together in a tenuous alliance because they're all pretending that Donald Trump's going to save the world.
Yeah, the second he's gone, it's going to be pandemonium.
Yeah. Oh, yeah. Yeah, the moment he's gone, the fight for the power vacuum that's going to generate.
And the parties. I'm going to drink so much he's dead.
I keep thinking of what if Trump dies and we don't find out about it for a couple of days, like the story with Stalin, where he had a heart attack in bed and died because everyone was too afraid to interrupt his sleep and see if he was okay.
Oh, yeah. Yeah. I mean, that kind of thing, I don't think that's going to happen. I think they're going to be pretty public about what's going on, mostly because the Vance faction of this whole thing, like Peter Thiel, Elon Musk, J.D. Vance, they're going to want to hit the ground running as quickly as possible that, like, hey, there's a new sheriff in town and you all need to fall in line behind President Vance. And a lot of people are going to be like, fuck you, motherfucker. I am not kissing that ring. You can go to hell.
I'm sorry. I was just going to say a lot of people don't like Vance because of his wife. They're like, oh, well, that's not racially pure enough for me.
Oh, yeah. Oh, absolutely. I mean, that's been a bit of sarcastic internet talk that Vance is going to divorce his wife and marry Erica Kirk. And have like the white power couple needed to make the gripers back off. But the thing is that Vance is going to have like his power faction, but then there's going to be a lot of people that are going to be against him. And then on top of that, you're going to have a bunch of people that are going to say that Vance killed Trump to get the presidency, which we've talked about this a bunch on the pod. It's like, yo, guys, Trump's dying. Like, calm down. But they're not going to buy it. They're not going to believe it. They're just going to freak out and call him a usurper. And we're just going to have those kinds of things happening. And all the Democrats are going to hate him. He has no charisma, so he's not going to be able to rally the MAGA base.
That's the thing is, like, it's not just the Usha Vance thing. There's so many valid reasons to just totally detest this guy that he's doomed.
Oh, yeah. Yeah. That's the thing is that what I really think is very interesting about this is that we have not had a president via succession in forever. Like and most people wouldn't even remember that it was Gerald Ford. They would think it's Lyndon Johnson because of Kennedy. They don't remember that Nixon resigned and Ford got the presidency from that. But, I mean, that was still early 70s.
Yeah, fun fact, kids, Gerald Ford is the only person who had never been elected president yet hold the office.
You got that trivia bit almost fully correct. The only person never to receive an electoral vote for either president or vice president and get the office. Because he wasn't on the ticket. Spiro Agnew was on the ticket and won the vice presidency, resigned due to tax corruption. The 25th Amendment I think it's the 25th or 22nd, but one of those amendments actually created a new succession plan and created the way to bring a new vice president into the fold, because when Kennedy got shot, Johnson just didn't have a vice president for that year. Like if something happened to Johnson, the Speaker of the House would have become president. Johnson only got a vice president when he won his own term, and Hubert Humphrey was his vice president at that point. So, like, America went sans president for, like, a year after Kennedy got clipped. So, under Nixon, the amendment was in place that if the vice presidency is vacant, the president nominates someone, the House and the Senate vote to confirm them, and they become vice president. And that's how Ford got the vice presidency. And Ford tells a story where basically, like, he and his wife, like, move into the vice president's, like, residence, and someone, like, grabs him and is like, Jerry, you may not be vice president for very long. And he's like, what the fuck? And they're like, yeah, it's getting real bad for Tricky Dick. Real fucking bad. And he's like, wow, this is kind of crazy that, like, literally he's like, yeah, we just gave you the vice presidency. Guess what? You're getting promoted real quick. You're about to be president. Which had to be like, what, on what planet could that? And that's, and man, if that happened nowadays, boy, would the conspiracy theories have flown fast and furious. But in case you were wondering, the Watergate as a plot to get Gerald Ford, who was on the Warren Commission, his reward for covering up Kennedy's murder, that is a conspiracy theory. That Watergate was an inside job to knock Nixon out of the presidency and give Ford, the Warren Commission staff member, the presidency for doing his good job and covering up the fact that Chucky the Typewriter whacked JFK.
But they couldn't just give him a hooker? I'm sorry, sex nope, worker?
Nope.
I apologize, Steph.
No. Gerald Ford was like, I'd take $5 million on a blowjob. They're like, no, you're president.
I just wanted to throw in that I learned this from reading a Dave Barry book a long time ago. Spyro Agnew, if you rearrange letters in his name, it spells grow a penis. That's all I know is about Spyro Agnew, but there you go.
Spyro Agnew.
Yeah, it sounds like I'm about to eat at a Greek restaurant.
I'm going to have some Saganaki and a side of Spyro Agnew.
That, there was a wrestler and he got a masked man gimmick. And he was supposed to be from Japan, so whenever he spoke, he just named Japanese wrestlers. And that was him pretending to speak Japanese. So I'm thinking, like, you pretend to speak Greek by just, like, saying things like that. Like, Spyro Agnew, Mike Dukakis, so on and so forth. Just all the Greek names you can think of.
I'm blanking right now, but I remember another situation like that where somebody was trying to, like, sound Italian by, you know, saying like Sinatra and, you know, stuff like that.
Yeah. Sinatra, Brando. It's like De Niro. It's like, ah, oh, this man's fluent in Italian. This guy's totally got it clopped. He's got it nailed. Yeah. Oh man. It is, yeah, it's just so great that we basically get to come onto the spot every week and be like, president, probably dying soon. Wonder Bar. But what you said it about Vance and the lack of juice he has, that's the thing that makes it so combustible and so dangerous for them, is that, I mean, the Republican Party is going to endure because there's too much money invested in it, and there's too many people that are working hard to keep this thing going. But once the SS Trump hits that iceberg and goes down, then they've got no bench. I mean, there are people right now talking about, like, Joe Rogan and Tucker Carlson running in 2028 because they got nobody. They got nobody. And it's like, you're going to run the stoner moron podcaster or the guy that was clawed by his dog who he thinks was a demon. You're going to run one of those guys.
Well, they can't run Ben Shapiro. He's Jewish. So that's right out.
Oh, yeah. God, they can't run. I mean, they can't run Ben Shapiro because he's Jewish, and they can't run Nick Fuentes because he's too young. So
and too Hispanic.
Oh, I think that's questionable sexual proclivities for Nick when it comes to how Republicans view him. So yeah, he was on Piers Morgan and actually said he was a virgin. That was great. It just, I love that Nick, like, leans into that,
because he's terrified of losing his incel base.
Right. The really funniest thing in the world would be if Nick had a non-white girlfriend. That would be the greatest thing in the world.
He's secretly dating Candace Owens.
Yes! Oh my God, that would be the greatest thing in the history of the world. Oh man, that would have been like the greatest thing ever if like she went to
the pillow talk. Pillow talk after they're done, they'd be like, you know, I really hate Israel.
Speaking of pillows, I heard that Mike Lindell is running for governor of Minnesota.
Oh yeah, bringing respectability to our great state of Minnesota.
Is he even from Minnesota?
I don't know, but that's where he's been based out of for forever. Steph says yes. But yeah.
Yeah, I'm pretty sure he was. I listened to a 3-part Dollop episode about him where they basically read his history from his autobiography and they're like, none of this is true. None of this is true. But I think he is from Minnesota and he's got that accent too, so.
Yeah. Has he? I don't think I've heard him speak more than a single sentence. Like even before all this, I couldn't stand that guy. Even when he was just doing those commercials, like I remember being at Bed Bath & Beyond with my she might have been my fiance at the time, actually not even my wife yet, but she was she was thinking about getting a new pillow and she sees my pillow. And I just looked at the guy and I'm like, he looks like a snake oil salesman. So I went online and I looked it up and there's all these reviews. His pillows are recycled foam crap. And I'm like, yeah, don't buy that pillow. And I am so glad I talked her out of that 10 years later.
Yeah. Good job, us. Yeah. But yeah, Mike Lindell, good luck. Thank you for ensuring that Tim Walz will have 4 more years in the governor's mansion. Not too worried about that. But yeah, I mean, it's just, again, this is the crap they have to throw at the wall. This is why they're doing all this gerrymandering. This is why they're doing all the stuff they're doing, because they don't have anybody to run in 2028. Like, I see like hypothetical, they're like, oh, in this hypothetical poll, Newsom's beating Vance by 3. And it's just, that is not what's going to happen when these people actually get out on the, when these people actually get out on the floor and actually start dancing. It's going to get real bad real quick for the Republicans.
If there's any Republican who I think is guaranteed to lose Ohio, it's Vance, and that's his home state.
Yeah, he sucks. I mean, he came really close to losing that state in his Senate race against a guy who was not a great Democrat opponent. I mean, he underperformed. I mean, that's his one statewide election before being vice president. But the one thing I was going to bring up before is that Vance would not get an open field. He would not close the field. He would not just swoop. He would not just go right to the nomination uncontested, because we have not had a person succeed into the presidency in my lifetime. And I really don't think there's anybody that is going to give a incumbent president who didn't win election the benefit of the doubt. Like, they're not going to say, oh, it's time to rally around the flag and support this guy. And we gotta back Vance the whole way. I mean, all these pricks, like Rubio, Hegseth, whoever, all these weirdos, all these kooks, Ted Cruz probably wants another bite at the apple. DeSantis probably wants to run again.
Rubio, yeah. Ted Cruz, I will be astonished if he does not run in 2028. I mean, like, I just can't imagine a situation like he could be in a vegetative state and his ugly wife Heidi be like, yes, he's running.
Yeah, I mean, like, that's the thing, is that all these people have bookmarked a 2028 presidential run, and they're not going to back down because fucking J.D. Vance, who's president now, tells them, yeah, fuck off. Because A, Vance is going to be incredibly unpopular, and B, the economy is going to be in the fucking toilet. So the Republicans are going to be looking for an outsider who doesn't have the Trump economy stink on them to try to salvage this mess. And so I think you're going to have really dynamic primaries on both sides, because the Democrats are going to be looking at, I mean, it's going to be like what it was in 2020, where every Democrat with two legs and a pulse was like, Jesus Christ, I'm going to crush Trump if I make it to the general election.
Yeah. Didn't that first Democratic primary have like 27 people in it?
It might have. I know that it had around 20 when we got to the debates and stuff like that. But yeah, one second. I'm punching up 2020 Democratic primary. 2020 Democratic presidential primaries. And
because like they had to divide it up into two. There were so many people.
Oh, yeah. They had to do like, well, that same thing happened in 2016 for the Republicans. They had the flip swingers. Okay, so here we go. Biden, Bernie Sanders, Tulsi Gabbard, yes. Democrat running for president.
Yeah, during those weeks where she was trying to trick people into thinking she was a Democrat.
Yeah. So she's number three, Warren four, Bloomberg five, Klobuchar six, Pete seven, Tom Steyer eight, Deval Patrick nine, Mike Bennett 10, Andrew Yang 11.
Oh, yes, Yang.
John Delaney 12, Cory Booker 13, Marianne Williamson 14, Julian Castro 15, Kamala Harris 16, Steve Bullock 17, John Sestak 18, Wayne Neesom, who I don't even remember, 19, Beto O'Rourke 20, Tim Ryan 21, Bill de Blasio 22, Christian Gillibrand 23,
Bill de Blasio.
Seth Moulton 24, Jay Easley 25, John Hickenlooper 26, and Mike Gravel 27,
Gravel,
Eric Swalwell 28, and Richard Ojeda 29. So we had 29 people declare for the presidency.
Yeah.
So, yeah. Oh my
and
God.
I forgot about, yeah. I forgot about like half of them. I just knew there was an insane number of people.
Right. Cause again, like Trump was so vulnerable in 2020 that it was just like, hey, if I catch like, cause in 1992, nobody wanted to run against Pappy Bush. The field was pretty small. Clinton won it. Clinton won against the small field and was the nominee. The economy went into the toilet, and Clinton won in a landslide. So nobody wanted to make the mistake that Pappy Cuomo, because that's what everyone forgets in 92, is that Andrew Cuomo, the dad. Mario Cuomo was the guy that was supposed to be the Democrat nominee in 92. But he got cold feet, and he thought Bush's popularity was too strong. So he was like, fuck it, I'll wait for 96 in the open seat. So I'll let the B team handle it.
And then yeah, I'll let that hick from Arkansas run. Yeah,
I'll let that hick from Arkansas take the L against Pappy Bush. And then the hick from Arkansas dog walks Bush and becomes president. And Cuomo's like, "Oh, beans." Like,
oh, it was all because of that saxophone that he did on
Yes. Yes.
What was it on? Arsenio, did he do it? I can't
remember. Arsenio. Arsenio. The saxophone on Arsenio, the fact that he said he wears briefs most of the time. So, boxers most of the time.
He smoked but did not inhale.
Right. Oh, yeah. He was edgy but safe. He was the rascal, but the rascal you could take home to mom.
Right. good boy in the streets, bad boy in the sheets. And then it turned out that was literally the case.
Oh, God. Damn.
Rimshot, how I missed you.
Yes, but I mean, that was just the thing, was that Clinton caught a wave with a bad economy, and he was a good candidate, and it all broke his way. And every Democrat alive is going to see that same thing in 2024, mostly because half of us are going to be in breadlines, and the other half of us are going to be fighting the Venezuelan insurgency. So, I mean, like, it's just, oh, my God. Oh boy, that is again one of those magical things that makes you just want to throw something against a fucking wall. That these piece of shit Republicans were posting the memes of like videos of Call of Duty or whatever, and then the caption was "Me and the boys in Taiwan after Taylor Swift makes all the idiot girls vote for Kamala." And it's like, oh, that warmongering bitch Kamala is going to send us to fight and die in the sands of the Middle East or the fields of Ukraine. Meanwhile, Trump's like, war with Venezuela for no reason. And it's like, yeah.
And it's
the peace president.
I feel so cliche whenever I bring up 1984, but I mean, it's literally, it's okay. This man is begging Venezuela to go to war with us. And at the same time, they're calling him the peace president with no irony. It's double
right,
speak.
Exactly.
We have always been at war with East Asia. We've never been at war with Eurasia.
Exactly. Yeah, that'll be our quick little fill at the end is that we apparently just took a oil tanker from the Venezuelans this week. And Trump's like, yeah, we just like took an oil tanker from the Venezuelans. What are they going to do about it? What are you going to do about it, Maduro? You a bitch? You a fucking bitch, Maduro? It's like, oh my God. Yeah,
didn't he claim there were drugs on the oil tanker or some crap like that?
Probably. I mean, but then like there, and they, someone said, what are you going to do about the oil on the tanker? He's like, I don't know, keep it. And it's like, that's what he always wanted to do. The dude's obsessed with just stealing oil from other people. He just lives only to do that. So yeah, Trump just trying to, like, just doing, I'm not touching you, just like hovering his face or his fingers around Maduro's face. Making him, like, trying to antagonize him and taking a swing. Oh, man. It's great. It's great. It's great that this, our foreign policy is in the hands of this idiot. It's great that all our policies are in the hands of this idiot. Great job, America. Yeah. Great job. Yeah. Nailed it.
But on the bright side, at least the guy running the Department of Defense is at minimum 12 hours sober.
Yeah, no shit. Oh, yeah, and we're going to have pull-up bars in airports. Oh, thank God. I can get my reps in while I'm waiting for my plane to show up. While I'm wearing my three-piece suit, yeah. I got my three-piece on while I'm getting my reps in.
And his freaking Brill-creamed hair.
Are you also going to kick your feet around a lot and look unprofessional like RFK did when he tried doing? Because those aren't. With pull-ups, man, you're supposed to keep your body straight. You're not supposed to be thrashing around like you can't handle it.
Yeah, well, when the lower half of your body is filled with heroin and the upper half is filled with brain worms, it's kind of hard to hold still.
That is true, and he's probably got some kind of bird parasite, too, and something from that bear. And he probably caught something from Olivia Nutsy, too.
Oh, boy. All of it's great.
Yeah, you made a joke about that earlier. Did you want to bring that up?
No, I did not.
Oh, well, I was talking to Steph, actually.
Oh, but Steph, bring it up. I have no idea what this is.
Oh, I'm trying to get a free copy of her book, and my one friend is on it for me.
You could just throw her a bone and get her, you know, sale number 5 on the book.
No, I'm not giving that bitch a single penny. She's not a writer. She's not a journalist. She is just a pathological liar and cheater, and she needs to go to a therapist because she has some obvious daddy issues. Obvious daddy issues. She needs help. She doesn't need to write a book. I forget what the joke I made about her, but the joke is she's a fucking joke.
Wasn't Meryl Streep's character in The Devil Wears Prada, wasn't that character based on her in parts?
Really?
Maybe.
No.
Maybe I'm insane. I don't know. I thought Vanity Fair fit in there somehow. I don't remember exactly.
I have no earthly idea.
I liked Meryl Streep in that movie. I can't imagine it being based on that hack.
Well, we've completely run out of steam, so I'm putting a pin on it. We're done. We're done here this week. It's over. Thank you all for listening, everybody. No, not you. It's all three of us. Hey,
and we managed to go an hour and 8 minutes past the original time I tried to stop the show.
Yes, which was a terrible mistake on our part. Oh, God. Silence is much preferable to the incoherent babble of us.
I broke the podcast. Yay. So,
anyhow.
Hey, I just want to say, if you're still listening to the pod at this point, God bless you.
Yes. And if you want to listen to the podcast even harder, give us a 5-star review on whatever outlet you're currently listening to us on. Thanks to, beyond that, give me money. Go to patreon.com/pokerpolitics. Donate. Help me out. If you don't want to do that, go to love146.org and donate to them to fight human trafficking, which is a far better thing to do. Thanks to DJ Minimal Effort and Frosty for the bumps and the music. Thanks to you all for listening. And never forget that Lee Harvey Oswald acted alone in the assassination of President Kennedy.